Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, this is LaVon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaign. Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast. We came on at a unique time, but we had some technical challenges. But however, the Lord worked it out so we could be on the air in spite of. I do want to thank Sister Yolanda Purcell for her efforts to help make certain that this program gets out tonight. I believe that's a message that God has for us tonight. Is that of a sense of urgency, although it's a primary, fundamentally sound teaching. It's a very fundamental teaching. I believe that as a result of the Word of God being proclaimed today, we will see a greater effect in the body of Christ. If you don't have a notebook, I'm going to ask you to have a notebook for this particular broadcast, because I believe that God has a word for us. Amen. So I don't want to delay, because there's two aspects and types for this teacher. And I think you're going to be blessed tonight. So let's pray and not delay and get it straight into the Word of God tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I do yield to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought, subjectivity of continuity of subject today, Father. I do depend on the Holy Spirit and tell the Holy Spirit to work with me and through me, and that he would have his way to say what the Spirit has to say to the church. Father, in everything, you be glorified for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto undefined love of the brethren. See that ye love one another, and with a pure heart fervently being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I was prompted to speak on tonight why the word. Why the word? Although this lesson may seem very basic, I believe that it is essentially relevant to us to take another glance at not only dialoguing about the word, but becoming strategic in our methods, manners, and means to keep each other in line with voicing the importance of adhering to the written word of God. Although this lesson may seem very basic, I believe that it is essentially relevant to us taking another glance. And I want to model a proper exegetical study of the importance of the scriptures biblically. And in this short study, I do believe that it will alert us to the knowledge of the written word, if acted upon, will yield a great dividend of proofs that the wonders and signs expected in this experience does exist and still has the power to transform lives. The purpose of this teaching is to remind the ministers of the gospel to the necessity of occasionally revisiting the power of proclaiming the need to maintain a hunger for the word of God. And it's our goal to systematically review the dynamics of orientating the word in our everyday affairs and lives and awaken a new sense of urgency within the body of Christ to maintain this hunger as a motive behind agendas that solely seeks to glorify God. We will do this objectively by highlighting essential scriptures that motivate the theology behind the importance of the word of God, the written word of God, practical methods of approaching the ministry, and means that brings clear emphasis on having the word of God as the sole basis of ministry platform. Why the word? I believe that we are in a dispensation of judgment. God has chosen in this time to review what I once heard a preacher say, the little foxes that spoil the great fire. It's the little things, the intricacies of where we are as Christians. And this particular teaching is a basic teaching. You say, why on Ministry Institute would I go over such a topic? Because I believe we're in a season where we have to review the fundamentals, because the fundamentals essentially are not being taught over the platform. We have been developing biblical survival attempts to define theology and neglecting the essential traits. And I think God is calling us back to order. And what I find in some of the things that have happened throughout this year, that if we're not on his side, we won't have a side. And so, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, our appreciation of God's written word must be given a heightened matter of attention in these coming days. The Father prompted me to revisit some essential biblical fundamentals preparing us for the close of the year, particularly because there is a sharper judgment upon the earth, and those that are in the scheme of the scene of his will must be legit. Lately, we have all been disappointed at the various forms of utter defiance toward the primary elements of the Christian faith, and we must again focus on our means of contention strategically. There's a call for us to contend for the faith. I love the address of the book of Peter. Many times when I go to minister the word in my travel, I deal with Peter, Jude, and James, sometimes, because a lot of times I have a one-stop shop, I use one-stop messages that you can really extrapolate or extract a principle that gives an overall survey of the entire book, and I love to preach in that manner, analytically and doctrinally. And here, I love this doctrine about Peter. I love discussing articles that were coined by the Apostle Peter because he is the only apostle that we vividly see a progression in the maturing, the development of his faith. We see where he has virtually no faith, when he has great demonstrative faith. And then, as an older man writing to the church, after experiencing the church age and the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we see a wisdom emulate from his articles to the church, in his final address to the church, here in his address. He lets us know that the redemption of our salvation and the Lord Jesus are preserved through our faith and our hope that should be placed in the intentions of God. And what I find is that we live in a society today where many people don't have a set theology, a basis by which they develop a belief system pertaining to their quest to know God. They don't have a basic one. And so when you go to articulate some things that are conveyed through your impression of the Word of God on your life, you can't relate because that question as to why the word should have such a strong place has not been answered. And a lot of times I'm finding as I'm aging that if the why is not answered, the what, when, and where, and who often will be delayed. So, the Lord is asking us today, why the Word? Why the Word? I am calling for an awakening in the lives of the believers to learn meticulously the written Word of God. I hear a lot of preachers say, well, I'm no Bible scholar. Well, why in the world are you preaching? You don't have to always be in the Bible. You just have to know what it said. How do you know what it said if you're not always in the Bible? I find that we have, you're so super spiritual that you're no earthly good. How can you be superior in your spirit and be no earthly good? Why are you saying what you're saying? I've learned that the reason why we're saying the things that we're saying is as a result of there not being an embedded, a final authority that has been placed that can only be given when the written word of God is taken seriously. And so in the night's first lesson, I've entitled it Wit. The word meets my world. Wit. The word meets my world. Whenever we as believers make a determination to live by the word of God, it's going to come as a result of our decisive decision to resolve to let God's written word have proper place in our lives. And so throughout this first part of the lesson, I'm going to biblically prove this point. Why did Peter address the church about this incorruptible, sustaining force that keeps us anchored in our faith, our hope, that should be placed in God? Peter came to the understanding that people's enlightenment factor would not just be by an experience of phenomena, but it would come as a result of them disciplining themselves to be faithful in what they could see with their eyes and perceive with natural understanding. Because if you don't believe what is written, you won't believe what is perceived. And that's where he addressed us in this. And we begin this study with our wit. Now, wit is a device that picks up in our mind when we're skillful in our knowledge base. It's when we get knowledge where we can craftily or creatively use our intelligence for our good to respond, not only necessarily to critics, but just to have a manner in which we respond intelligently about what we know is true. The Word of God has been shaped and fashioned and preserved throughout history to become our wit. And we have to have some teaching out there that promotes getting back to the relevance of knowing the written word of God. I said one time in teaching a class, and I'll say it throughout the night, that the written word of God is the strongest voice of God. Because you don't need to question what you can see with your eyes, and hear what is declared to your ears. So, let's go to another passage in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 6, as we talk about why the word wit, the word meets my world. I pray that today's lesson will provoke you as believers to allow the word to have proper place. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as it unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also as the lively stones are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay a stone in Zion, a chief cornerstone, and let precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I believe that God word becoming final authority hinges on this big word here. And I know it's not emphasized in the passage contextually, but I think if you have your Bible, you should circle that word desire if you're reading the King James Version. Because I found out in life that that's the only deterrent or maybe determining factor to whether or not God can really deal with you concerning his word. The desire is that development of hunger that each of us need in order to be successful in the things of God. You know, I used to think it was my diligence and my discipline that got me to a place in the Word, and I'm not saying this to come off arrogant, but just to say as a serve as an example. I used to think it was my discipline and my devotion to the things of God that increased the wisdom of God on my life. But then I after being in fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and learning the nature of God and being in the presence of God, I learned that a lot of the reasons why that steadfastness and that anchoring and that grace that was on me to absorb the things of God, the knowledge of God, was not because of what I did physically or even metaphysically, but was just because I had a desire. And no one can create the desire to do what is right. And perhaps some of you, this is a waste of time because your desires are not set on truly doing this because you love God. Why the Word? Now, this is a challenging subject for me to teach because it's very fundamental, but I'm learning as I communicate to a lot of ministers, especially in this era of developing ministries and working with developing ministries, how far set their desires are. And their ultimate desire is not to really know God, but to produce things based on God working for them to get some type of desire they have concocted up that has nothing to do with God. And God can't back anything that's not his. Why the Word? Is the Word a priority in your life? And that word desire is like the choosing of this day whom you want to serve. No one can force you to desire the Word. So I find in Peter's address to the church when he talks about the Word and when he talks about faith and adding virtues towards your faith so that your faith will not weaken in the time that you live in, I find that there's key statements in there that change the connotation of the lesson. Mechanically, I can give you suggestions that will give you applications as to how to appropriate the Word of God in your life. But if the desire is not there to become one with God's Word, you'll never make it. One of the things hit on the intent of the scripture is that the natural man can't perceive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And God gave spiritual examples and spiritual figures for us to learn the things of God. And every example that he gave, those people desired God in a way that was unique. It was beyond the norm, out of the ordinary. We've numbed down and nullified the importance of the voice of the written word of God today, that people don't open up their Bibles, they use other sources to develop their faith. And so when the trials of life come at them, they fall by the wayside because they're really not in it for the right reason. Why the Word? Hallelujah. Now Jesus comes on the scene addressing his whole ministry, his whole motive, his whole objective in life on fulfilling the will, which is the Word of God, the declared known Word of God. Of course, you know, Matthew and Luke tells you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our life is defined by the word that comes out of the mouth of God. And if those words, and of course, you know, Peter also lets us know that these that the scriptures were written by men that were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we see a necessity to this word getting beyond just a book or intellectual stimulation, but actually becoming a part of our very DNA. The written word of God is the strongest voice of God. We can learn and know exactly what God would say by those things that we can see with our eyes and hear when it's declared with our ears. John 6:63 states it no other way better than I can put it. The Lord Jesus himself declares that it is the spirit that quickeneth, which means to make alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. God intends for us to design our lives by the word of God that we know. And the written word of God is the strongest voice of God. Because that which we can see with our eyes and hear with our ears when it's declared, we know exactly that it comes from the hand of God. Amen. So there are five essential things to establishing a solid foundation for the word of God, to have proper place in our ministries and personal affairs. This is a personal matter. Number one is for the word of God to have a place in your life, there must be a sincere attempt to prioritize the word on an everyday basis. And it begins with our decisive decision to devote ourselves to the word of God. Also, number two, faith will not awaken within the heart until the word of God is seen in the perspective as a revealed revelation within the intent of Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Number three, finding time for the word of God is the greatest form of spiritual discipline you could ever achieve. The word must be seen more than just reflecting on a passage for a great sermon. And number four, the fellowship in the continual atmosphere of the word will result in confidence in the strongest voice of for the will of God, the written word of God. And then number five, the focus is built in the presence of God, which becomes a greater form of reality when the word is revealed as final authority. Often when you hear me on the broadcast, I will start with the statement of the word must be final authority. Well, what do I mean by that? The word must be given such a place that when it comes to any decision that you make, you can confirm what you do by the word that you see with your eyes and that you hear with your ears when it's declared from what you've seen from the written word of God. Because the written word of God is the strongest voice that we have of God. The written word of God teaches us that there is a God and that he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we know that truth? By retaining and attending our, making ourselves attentive to the written word of God. So my question is, why do I have to beg people that claim they believe in God to read the written word of God? Why is it that when I'm amongst preachers and ministers and believers, they talk more about football games and financial statistics and cultural changes, politics, Why can't we talk about this written word? The strongest voice. Oh God. It's God's written word. Well, there are five things that will happen when the Word of God has proper place in your life, and I think we should know this as believers. Number one, it will purify the intents of your heart. Of course, you know Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." God's Word will purify the intents of our heart. It will discern it, and it will tell us what to do with it. Number two, it will produce faith needed to exist as a divine person, that has quality in life. Romans 10:17 says, "So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And, of course, you know, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. So we want to please God. The word of God, when it has proper place in our lives, will purify the intents of our heart, and then it will produce faith needed for the divine quality of life. Thirdly, it will perfect, which means to mature, our conduct through the process of sanctification. Of course, you know, 1 Timothy 4:1-6 illustrates this beautifully. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, and that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." Ain't that good to know after Thanksgiving? But for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So let us know when the word of God has proper place, it will perfect us in our conduct through the process of sanctification. Of course, you know, the doctrines of devils and hypocrisy and speaking of lies and seducing spirits were all to stop us from living and existing by faith. And when we allow the process of sanctification to take proper place in our lives, then we will see this power in our life awaken to hold forth to the words of life, because we have the word of God. The written word of God is the strongest voice of God. And when it has proper place in our lives, it will purify the intents of our heart. It will produce faith that is needed for this quality of life that is given for the divine people. It will perfect us through the process of sanctification. And then fourthly, it will provide power to perform beyond the natural. In Philippians 2:12-17, we know that the word of God assures us in our confidence toward God, and we can be like this: "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now as much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh both in you," or in you both, "to will and to do his good pleasures. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nature, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifices of the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice in you all." Why? Because God has given you power both to will and do. Now, he gives us the power to will and do, but all he tells us to do is to desire it. To desire it. Hallelujah. So after he purifies our hearts and produces faith and perfects us and provides power, finally he places a passion to proclaim the impact of our life. You know, anybody that had contact with the written word of God dedicated their lives to it, even those that naturally dedicated themselves to the word of God, the Pharisees, the rabbis, they all identified their lifestyle. It will affect the natural man, the written word of God. Why the word? 1 Peter 1:20 says that it places a passion to proclaim its impact on your life. Now, you know what happened when Peter was given the revelation of the church prior to Acts. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he was able to preach boldly. And one message was able to cause the church to enter into a progressive stage of phenomenal growth. How much more would we, as having the written word, the complete, the whole counsel of God? You know, I'm giving you a little scriptures, but these scriptures don't even compare to the amount of scriptures that I can just give you the importance of knowing that the laws of the Lord is perfect, his ways are sure. Just and right is the man that follows that word. Amen. Peter, you know, tells us, look, we're not born, we was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe, who by Jesus do believe in God, that has raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto undefined love of the brethren. See that ye love one another by the word of God, or actually love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again out of the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth in you forever, for all flesh is as grass, and falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So that passion is awakened through the proclamation of the gospel that is sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So those five things give you validations as to what happens when the word of God has proper place in your life. It purifies you from the inside out. It produces faith. It perfects you. It provides power. And it places a power, passion to proclaim the word of God. I see a lot of passionless preachers, and I'm resolved that it's because they have not allowed the word of God to have proper place in their lives. There are five enemies to the effect of the word of God. Five. And we know these things, but this is good for our review. Number one, the traditions of men. Of course, you know the traditions of men, Matthew says, makes the word of God of none effect. Number two, the timidity of men. You know, timidity is another word for fear, a manifestation of fear. God has not given us the spirit of timidity, the NIV translated, or the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. How is that realized? Through the written word of God. So an enemy to that is fear. Some people don't read certain parts of the Bible because they're afraid of what it says or may not say. They fear because they think they can't understand it. It contradicts itself. Well, how do you know you haven't read it? Amen. Number three, the tongue that is not tamed. The scripture, I love James when his depiction of the tongue. It says it's like a little rudder on the boat. That little device controls the whole boat, the direction of the boat. the tongue, so is the tongue that is not tamed. Sometimes we don't study the Word of God because we don't know how to talk the Word and talk ourselves into focusing on the things that pertain to the Word of God. I don't want to keep developing relationships with Christians that I can't freely reveal what I'm believing and what I'm studying in God's Word. This Word has impacted my life so that I can talk hours about it and feel like I haven't even scratched the surface. And I get irritated now when I see people that don't have that same passion. And I know merely they either don't tame their tongue. They got traditions that just totally nullify God's word. Or they just operate in timidity, straight fear. Another reason is tensions that are built through strife and division. The people are divisively set to keep you off track of the word of God. You got to go to work. It's one of the amazing ones. Got to make a living. Got to climb the success ladder. Man, should I live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And we know that these words that were preserved through over 2,000 years of history was given for us to know the voice of God. And yet you don't read it. Why the word? And then, of course, the teachings that are contrary to the doctrine of Christ also serve as an enemy to the Word of God. But there's hope. The hope is that when we begin to examine ourselves and to see whether we have the Word of God in proper place, we can make some decisions to totally translate us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. As our willingness to set apart the Lord God in our hearts, to always be ready to give an account and an answer to the hope that lies within us is achieved by just opening the book. To some of us today, I'm encouraging ministers of the gospel to get back to the word, to start preaching the word, get back to the Bible. I'm all about technology. I love technology. I'm reading from technology as we speak. But I don't ever want to lose a value and access to the written word of God. Sometimes my greatest studies is from things that are written. That come directly from the book. We're the only organization, Christianity, movement, have the top bestseller in the world that devalues it because we never open it or read it. Some of us, our understandings are limited just because we refuse to open the book. I pray that you hear that in this dispensation, God is, I believe, that winking, that kept him blinking his eyes. I believe his heart and his eyes are fixed on those that claim him as their Lord. I want to leave you with some questions to ask yourself. Number one, what is the Word of God doing for your life? How has that discipline of the Word transform your life? And what results should I expect when I resolve and determine the word to be final authority in our lives? And I want to also ask you today, is what you're doing producing the results that the word of God has promised? And if not, why? Last but definitely not least, is my church placing an emphasis on the need to keep me focused on learning the written word of God? What I'm finding out today is sometimes we give more power to people than we do what we know is the truth. And some of us have mastered the art of taking people's words for it so that if we were to ever look into the word for ourselves and to know it, we would be surprised at what we believe based on what we perceive versus what we should know because it is written. It is written. It is written. I'm reminded of Jesus' display of sacrifices. Of course, you know the sacrifices really of him fasting 40 days and night was not the merit of his honor at this point in Luke 4. But his ability to combat his enemy based on the written word of God was able to wipe the agenda of satanic attacks for over a season in his life because he knew what the written word says. And my God, if Jesus, who was manifested the word in the flesh, took time to learn the written word of God, why would we not know exactly what it says? There's a new level of preaching, hallelujah, a new level of understanding that will come as a result, glory to God, of the word having place in our life. Are we ready for it? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you because you place your word even above your name. I thank you that the blinders of religiosity are breaking even as I speak. I thank you that your people will value what they can see with their eyes and hear what there is when it's declared, the written word of God. That seed that's incorruptible, that teaches us eternity, would take residence in our hearts, that a people would raise up instinctively knowing your will and your ways and your means by which you convey your intent, your written word. That when we hear those supernatural sounds that draws us hither to your word, that we would know that it is your voice because we know your word. I pray that the understanding of your word would become a desire in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen again. Well, we're a little over the time, but I believe you got the word of the Lord tonight. I'll be back on teaching more on this subject. I have more in my notes. It's time out for playing the church. If we're going to be the church, we've got to be it all the way or don't be it at all. God is calling for us to live by the word of God. Why? The word. There's many connotations that you can take that question. And I pray that you find the answers. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and the host of the Rhema Remnant Radio. Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast. I pray that the meditations of my heart and the intents of my thinking would be acceptable, Father, in your sight. God, strengthen your people by your word. Hallelujah. More on the written word of God. Why the word? God bless you and good night.